Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What was the best part about coaching in Washington?
Being able to work with my dad and be around some other good coaches.
What was the worst part?
Everything else. I liked a lot of the players. Some good people.
Kyle Shanahan's coming back to FedEx Field with an undefeated 49ers team. His team is in first place. Matt LaFleur, who was on his staff as his quarterback's coach, team is in first place.
10-1 record between those two teams.
Sean McVay's Rams are actually struggling a bit. They traded for Jalen Ramsey yesterday.
Coming off a Super Bowl appearance.
All he did was make the Super Bowl in his second season as a head coach, as the youngest head coach ever. And I think most people would tell you they're expected to make the playoffs this year. Not a bad run for a couple of former assistants under Shanahan offensively when Shanahan was the offensive coordinator. You may remember in 2012, he designed an offense that had never been seen in the league before, and they were number one in the NFL in a lot of categories, including yards per play and overall offense. But Shanahan and the 49ers against the Redskins on Sunday. I hope Washington can dig deep enough to find a way to play four inspired quarters, because I don't think Kyle Shanahan's going to let up. I mean, on paper, San Francisco's eminently better than the Redskins. I haven't seen the odds in this game.
Let me get them for you.
I'll bet you they're at least 9-point favorites. It's got to be maybe even 10. But it's going to be, considering the Redskins are at home, you know, you would think the 49ers are around a dozen points better than Washington in the Vegas odds. It's got to be close to double digits.
9.5 on the door of 10.
You think Shanahan, if he gets a chance to run up the score, is going to call off the dogs?
Now, listen, the Shanahans in general, I would say, are classier than that. Like, the personal vendetta against Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder may not govern that, but I tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me.
He was asked.
It wouldn't surprise me.
About it by the DC media on the conference call. Right. I think it was yesterday. He was asked about his feelings, if this is personal, you know, if he still has any grudges against the Redskins. And he said the right thing. He said, look, I've been with three teams since then. That's a long time ago.
Right, Cleveland for a year. Now
Atlanta,
San Francisco, Atlanta.
You know, when
that's
he went
right.
to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Calling plays for the Falcons. And now he's the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. So that's a really long time ago. I'm not really concerned at all about anything personal. This isn't personal. This is about my team and their team. But then you hear what Tom just played coming into the segment, where he talked about how fun, and I use air quotes, and an eye roll, his time in Washington was, and you wonder, well, is there still a little bit of anger toward the Redskins?
What was the best part about coaching in Washington?
Being able to work with my dad and be around some other good coaches.
What was the worst part?
Everything else. I liked a lot of the players. Some good people.
I mean, even if he didn't get fired, which he did, by the way, even if a lot of the local media and fans didn't say that he wasn't good at his job when he was outstanding, which happened, by the way, for a lot of his time here, even if for years a lot of people didn't make his entire existence about his last name as if he didn't deserve that job, as if he hadn't had the number one rushing offense in the league and passing offense at a different point with the Houston Texans before he came here.
Now, maybe he gets his foot in the door because Gary Kubiak is good buddies with his dad, who was good buddies with John Elway. That dude did a great job.
Yeah, did nepotism play a role in him getting into the league? Of course it did. But the idea that this guy who was excellent with the Texans wasn't a qualified offensive coordinating hire when everyone in the league worth their salt knew he was going to be a head coach within a handful of years was ludicrous. But if you go back and you listen to some of the local media and you watch some of the local stuff, or if you just listen to any of the calls, it was all about, oh, he's just here because of his dad. So yeah, he should, just based on his own merits, have a bone to pick. But on top of that, he and his dad were, his dad and the team were at odds. Of course, Mike Shanahan lit fire to the entire organization with one leak after another on the way out, and that was a debacle. But he and Bruce Allen and he and Dan Snyder were butting heads. He's got to still have some vitriol about his stint here with the Redskins.
Is there more juice for a game like this? I know you faced the Redskins before since you've left, but is there more juice just because of some of the dysfunction there when you were there?
No, not at all. I mean, that was a while ago. I've been in three different buildings since. You know, my dad's retired. He's good, and we've accepted what we had to deal with there, and we moved on. We'll watch other people deal with it.
That last little zing, though, watch other people deal with it. Like, he's saying, no, I don't really have any feelings. But then he says, we've moved on, we'll watch other people deal with it. That tells you that there are still some feelings, right?
Yeah, of course. It's him enjoying success. And by the way, it hasn't happened yet in San Francisco. It's happening now, finally. But there was a lot of promise. They've been the team that's on deck with Kyle Shanahan, and he's a genius, and he's been kind of anointed. It hasn't happened yet. Now it's kind of coming together. Their defense is excellent. It doesn't matter who he hands the ball off to. They're getting huge amounts of yards. Jimmy Garoppolo, through five games, is healthy, playing better than some of the numbers indicate, I would say. But that's just my own opinion on the side. There is animus here because he's one of the few guys, and you got to be young enough in the assistant game or in the front office game to emerge from this Andy Dufresne escaping from Shawshank, mile five football fields of evil, foul-smelling darkness that is the Washington Redskins, and come out clean enough on the other side to still get more gigs and be thought of well.
So where does the anger get directed, you ask? Well, I think there's a couple simple answers. First of all, if you think you, listening in your car right now, yes, you with your hands on the steering wheel, if you think you don't think that much of Bruce Allen as a football guy, you can get in line behind the Shanahans,
The queue forms here, please.
Let's just start with that, number one. Number two, a lot of this is also directed at Dan Snyder, who I think during much of the tenure, particularly Mike Shanahan, who dealt with him a lot more. I don't know how much Kyle even dealt with him. I think Mike Shanahan had a decent enough relationship with Dan most of the time, and he would have told you as much. The difference is that a lot of things changed when Dan Snyder took Robert Griffin's side over there.
Yeah, there was undermining that went on.
And we could argue about this until we're blue in the face, and there will still be people that call in to tell me that the Shanahans mishandled Griffin. And you can have your opinion, whatever. Here's what you need to know is that in the minds of Mike and Kyle Shanahan and everyone else on that staff, Matt LaFleur, now the coach of the Packers in first place, Sean McVay, now the coach of the Rams, were in the Super Bowl last year. A lot of good, smart football people. Dan Snyder decided that it was Robert Griffin who was right, and all those other guys that I just named were wrong. And he took the quarterback over all those other guys. And a lot of people just watched it happen and said he was right to do it. A lot of people talked about them being the evildoers, them being wrong, them being dumb. This is about the face of this franchise. All that matters is Griffin, who's been a backup and out of football ever since he left here, by the way. So the idea that they might only be upset with, say, Bruce Allen, it's just not correct. But I am fascinated to see. And maybe they won't get a chance to, because maybe the Redskins beat the 49ers. I don't see it, but maybe they do. Well, maybe they play a great game. But if they're up, like, say, 31-3 or something in the second half, I wonder if Kyle Shanahan goes for a fourth down. He normally wouldn't.
Or Belichick's it and calls timeout to stop the Redskins from scoring or something.
I would be very, very curious to see if he coaches this game like he coaches the rest, because I am a huge believer in actions, not words. You can tell me you have no more animosity. I'll bet you've still got a little bit of animosity. And as you heard him say at the end of that clip, we'll watch other people deal with it. You saw what happened with Jay Gruden, and he's the newest guy who's just a big dumb idiot according to all the fans, I'm sure. I'm sure everyone that comes here all of a sudden is less good at coaching than they used to be, and it has nothing to do with this operation.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm very sure about that.
The rotten core, we all know about it. We know of it. And some fans either ignore that or they decide that, you know, just like the owner does, they're a coach away. They're just one fix away. And it's not. It's not one fix. It's a massive overhaul of an incorrect process. That's been facing them since Dan Snyder bought this team in 1999, and he's refused to do it. It always comes back to him. And it should. We should always remember that that's the root of this thing. And until he has a fundamental sea change in the way that he goes about his business, this is what we're doomed to. And they believe these tiny samples. You can see it. It's what bad management does. A small sample will tell you this is who we really are when things go right, instead of the giant sample of when things go bad. So you'll hear Bruce Allen talk, we were 6-3, 6-2 last year. Remember that. They were, and they deserve credit for being 6-2. Do I then get to point out what you were outside of that, what you are now, what you were before 6-2? Do I get to have ammunition as well? Because the bigger sample says you suck.
800-636-1067 if you want to weigh in. Do you think Kyle Shanahan's going to coach this game like you would a week from now or a week ago? Or do you think if he gets a chance, he's going to try to send a message? That's the question on G&D here on The Fan. Let's also get into the Trent Williams trade rumors. Can you believe the Redskins are still acting like they're not going to trade Trent Williams? Is there any way they actually don't?
The Washington Nationals are in the World Series for the first time in franchise history. Louisville Slugger's been making bats since 1884, and BigTimeBats.com is releasing this Nationals World Series two-tone bat. The full-size bat has the team colors with a red barrel and blue handle and has the World Series and Nationals Curly W logos with the NL Champions logo laser engraved on the bat. The full-size bat is limited to 5,000 individually numbered bats and sells for $129.95 plus shipping. Also available is the World Series team signature bat with the facsimile signatures of the players and the World Series and NL Championship logos. Both bats can be purchased in a stunning two-bat set. Go to BigTimeBats.com now to order or call 866-280-BATS. That's 866-280-BATS for this historic Nationals first playoff series win bat. Trademarks and logos used with permission.
G&D 106.7 The Fan. Jim Bowden, 12:15 today. Carl Hagelin of your Capitals at 12:45. By the way, I think we finally hit the jackpot on a weekly Caps guest. I think we finally
Carl Hagelin.
Last year, I loved having DSP on every week because he's Devontae Smith-Pelly and he gave me a Stanley Cup and he was epic in the playoff run.
Uh-huh.
On air, it was not my favorite 7 or so minutes each week. Just not a whole lot of energy from our guy DSP.
We're DSP guys, but yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to say.
Carl Hagelin, outstanding. I think we've done it. I think we're in a good spot here. All right, now though, we're talking about the Redskins. We'll get back into the Kyle Shanahan revenge game in a second. Real quick, wanted to read from John Dorsey's press conference yesterday. He's speaking to the media as a general manager because he does that regularly, which is fun.
That's crazy.
Huh?
The general manager speaking to people.
They referred to it as his bi-week press conference.
Bi-week
press conference. Isn't that something? Wonder if Bruce Allen will have a bi-week press conference coming up. Bet you he doesn't.
Don't hold your breath.
From Berea, Ohio, though, the GM, John Dorsey, according to Mary Kay Cabot in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, said Wednesday he's talked to Redskins president Bruce Allen, and it was evident he meant it was about trading for 7-time Pro Bowl left tackle Trent Williams. Quote, we had a few conversations, Dorsey said, during his bi-week press conference. Anything you want me to pass on to him, he asked the reporters. Then one of them said, well, ask him if he's going to trade that tackle, one reporter ventured. Which tackle? Dorsey said coyly. The left tackle that's rumored, the reporter said. And then he said, quote, it takes two to tango, end quote. Dorsey also made it known that they've got plenty of money under the cap. They could take on Trent Williams, who's due $11 million this year, $12.5 million next year. They could sign him to an immediate extension. And he spoke more broadly about any player, but everyone knew who was being talked about because they have the money moving forward. So they're the perfect trade partner. They are underachieving. They need offensive line help desperately. They need a left tackle. They have money to spend on an extension. They're willing, it sounds like, to give up a first-round pick and something else for Trent Williams. All these things we now know. And he said it takes two to tango, meaning the Redskins don't want to trade him. If they go through the deadline in 12 days without having traded Trent Williams, and I don't care if it's to the Browns or someone else, I happen to think Cleveland's a great trade partner. I think it will be the dumbest thing they've done, in years. More so than, like, it got to a point where you and I kept saying, pay Kirk Cousins, pay Kirk Cousins, pay Kirk Cousins. And then when it got to like 24, 27, 28 million, we're like, okay, no reason to pay this guy at this rate. He's a good quarterback who you should have paid a while ago.
And now it's too pricey.
Missed the boat, so thanks for nothing. Thanks for screwing that up. But there was always an argument one way or the other about Kirk Cousins. There have been arguments about other things that they've done or haven't done. Most of the time, I think reasonably we could say, okay, they botched that, they botched this, they fired this guy, they did whatever it is. Not trading a guy who never wants to play for you again, who has taken his ball and gone home, who's a great asset, when you have the one good thing about this 1-5 start and looks like you're headed to 3-13, now clarity that you're horrendous. That's the one good thing is you can now, you could also be trading some of these other veterans and recouping draft picks and try to do a Miami Dolphins bit where you actually position yourself for future success. Not doing that would be malpractice. And it would be, in my opinion, worse than all the other dumb things that they've done. I cannot fathom the possibility that they won't trade Trent Williams. You know that sometimes I say this and you go, oh, you shouldn't do this. I give them more credit than them not trading Trent Williams. I, even as little as I think of Bruce Allen as a football person, he is smarter than not trading this guy. Even by the low standards I have for him, I will be disappointed and even furious, I would say.
I can't let myself get disappointed in that outcome. I guess what I'm saying is, this is what I'm predicting. I'm predicting they don't do the right thing here. Because, again, all we talked about in the offseason, leading up to training camp, to the preseason, into these games, is there is a curve. And you're on the roller coaster. You're going up, 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 up. How long you're at the peak for what value you could get for Trent Williams, I believe is already in the rearview mirror. I really do. And I think now you're on the down, 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 down. It may not be going down at a million miles an hour, but you have lost nearly half a season for, you know, a team that would take on him and his contract. You would need the full 2 years really to recoup value if you are the team that's trading for him. And maybe you want to sign him to an extension. You've lost a half year. Then he's got to learn the offense, figure out what the hell, which way is up, what the terminology means. And he'll do it quickly because he's amazing, but you're still talking a few weeks, pouring it up to speed. Next thing you know, it's week 12, week 13 before you have impactful Trent Williams. The Redskins have already missed the boat, in my opinion, just sort of reading the tea leaves here. I don't believe they're going to do this simply because there is some sort of petty, tiny thing, and this is really what they focus on as an organization, winning some small battle at the expense of a giant war where they end up losing all the time.
That's inexcusable.
I agree with you.
It's unforgivable.
Of course it is.
If that's why they're not trading this guy, that is unforgivable. Grow up. Run your football team. I have to imagine it's not that. I have to imagine it's that he's an elite offensive tackle, and they think that at some point he's going to come back and play at that level for them. And having a wonderful left tackle is a great asset for a young quarterback like Dwayne Haskins. But if it's really as simple as them saying, we can't possibly give in.
Because of the precedent. I think that's what they're concerned about. I really do.
Ray's in Temple Hills on G&D. Ray, we're kicking off what
is
Revenge Week with Kyle Shanahan and Kirk Cousins coming up.
So just quickly on what you just said, these people, they just live to make bad decisions, man. So they're not going to get right. So we can't even tell them, hey, make a good decision, make the right decision, because they just got to talk about it. When they do wrong, we got to talk about them. But as far as Kyle is concerned, you know, we saw what he said in his interview. He said he's glad to be away from the dysfunction. Is, you know, what you like best about being at the Redskins, been coaching with some great coaches and my dad, what didn't you like, everything else. So he's still holding it. And what they did to his father, trust me, he's feeling it. And he's going to mash the gas down, burn the needle. And when we look up, it'll be three digits on the scoreboard, on the time clock, 3-0s, and then he'll let off the gas. He's coming for blood this week.
So that's what I'm curious about, Ray, and I think you're right. I think if given the opportunity, he's going to do everything he can to try to embarrass the Redskins. The NFL is not college football, though. It's not like he's coaching Florida and they're going to play Florida Atlantic, and you know at some point he'll have the chance. These are pros, man. The Redskins have some good football players. We had Terry McLaurin on the show yesterday, who, by the way, he's tremendous on the field, and he might be a cooler guy off the field. Listen to that podcast, the interview, when you get a chance at thefandc.com. But it's not like the Redskins don't have a shot to hang with them and knock them off. It's football. It's the NFL. It's the big leagues. Either team could win the game. I just think if he's in a position in the second half to go for that fourth he normally doesn't, to go for two because he can't go for three, as you said earlier, I think maybe we're going to see that.
So, well, I pulled an old Woody Hayes comment, former coach at Ohio State, when asked in a 50-14 game why he went for two with only a small amount of time on the clock when they blew out Michigan. So, Coach Hayes, why'd you go for two? He said, because I couldn't go for three. And I imagine that's how Kyle Shanahan
feels
this
week. That's Kyle's mindset.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the Kyle Shanahan revenge game? And as the schedule makers could do it, and only them, 4 days later, you've got Kirk Cousins in Minneapolis. Grant and Danny on The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Our double play coming up at 11:45. And at noon, we are blitzing around the Beltway. Jim Bowden is on the show at 12:18 today. He was the first ever GM in Nationals history. Just want to get some stories from him about getting this thing off the ground at RFK Stadium when they were working out of trailers. But right now we're talking Kyle Shanahan's return to Washington this weekend. Meanwhile, the Redskins have decided, at least for the moment, they're not trading Trent Williams. The deadline is still 12 days away, so I guess as we get closer, they could change their mind. How do you think Kyle Shanahan's going to coach in this game? He has said, let me get one of those clips, Tommy, if you would, that basically he doesn't have hard feelings. But in the same sentence says, we just watched the other coaches go through the same thing we do now. Well, tells me that you still kind of are plugged in on what's going on here.
Is there more juice for a game like this? I know you've faced the Redskins before since you've left, but is there more juice just because of some of the dysfunction there when you were there?
No, not at all. I mean, that was a while ago. I've been in three different buildings since. You know, my dad's retired. He's good, and we've accepted what we had to deal with there, and we moved on. We'll watch other people deal with it.
Watched other people deal with it.
Almost with a, you know, you don't want someone to go through misery, especially if you like them or understand it, but it's a validating thing, right? When you break up with someone, you go, dude, that dude or gal is crazy, and then they don't believe you, and then somebody goes through the same thing, and you're kind of like, sucks for you, but I told you.
I don't think they're punting on fourth down in that territory between field goal and punt range between like the 32 and the 40 in the second half. That's what I'll say about this game. I think he'll want to hang as many points as he can. Kyle, Fairfax, what's good?
Hey, guys. Actually, I think it's really funny with what's going on with Trent Williams and Kyle Shanahan. And when he was here, a lot of the turmoil, I mean, not all of it, but was regarding RG3 and Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen playing favorites. I really think if you look at the Trent Williams situation, I don't want to just blame Bruce Allen here. We all know Dan Snyder has personal relationships with certain players, and you know Trent Williams is amongst one of them because he's the longest tenured Redskin here. And I think it's really more of an indictment on him if, after this trade deadline, if Dan Snyder's ego is so big that he won't even be able to tell a new head coach, look, I have two first-round picks for you instead of one and no second, all because my ego says I don't want to trade Trent Williams. It's a lot scarier than Bruce Allen, because there's no way Bruce Allen tomorrow can trade Trent Williams without informing Dan Snyder, in my opinion.
So I agree with that. I think it's a really smart call. He absolutely has to inform him. I just happen to believe that this is Bruce's decision. And if Dan Snyder, at this point, at 1-5, knowing that Trent Williams doesn't want to come back, doesn't look at a additional first-round pick as a dollar sign as well, I get my future left tackle perhaps in the top 10 with the pick that the Redskins are already going to have, and now I get to draft an edge rusher, or I get to draft a starting safety, or I get to draft a wide receiver to go with McLaurin, or I get to draft something that'll sell some tickets.
Whatever it is, right?
You know, it's not going to sell tickets, even if he's back a tackle. You know, the first-round pick being a left tackle next year is not a butts and seats move. But you could get that left tackle that you need to replace Williams. And then this other pick from the Browns, at this point, that looks like it could end up being the 15th overall pick. That could be the 16th, 17th pick in the draft. Let's go to Dave in D.C. on The Fan. What's up, Dave?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on, Grant and Danny?
Dude.
Hey, so I think this Sunday at FedEx Field is going to be a slaughter. I think Kyle Shanahan's going to take out all his weapons. You're going to see him grinning on the sideline, and it's just going to be embarrassment. And I think it's really just going to motivate Kirk Cousins to come in the next few days later, and we're just going to see cringy, awful white guy dances in the end zone celebrating with Cook, Diggs and Thielen.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings have caught their stride, too. After a couple weird weeks where they looked like they couldn't, you know, manage a loud applause break, they're killing people now all of a sudden. You're right. I think it's going to be a back-to-back bloodbath only 4 days apart.
Right, and last thing on Trent Williams, I want to say this. We know Bruce Allen is holding him hostage here, a similar behavior to what he's always done with this team in the last, like, I don't know, 10 years. It's really been going in the wrong direction. And I think us as fans, we really need to do something to kind of regain that control back. His whole idea of no signs at FedEx Field is terrible. And I think we really need to embarrass him more so on TV. It's not enough for him to see us get destroyed on primetime games or see the audience be covered in the other team's jerseys. But we need to make like a Facebook group or something and just, you know, free Trent Williams hashtag, or I have no idea, but it just needs to blow up even more so.
Dave, I don't think a Facebook group's going to help or a hashtag's going to do it. I'll tell you what has been impactful, though. You can see every time, as you said, you turn on the TV, that there aren't many Redskins fans at games. I've never experienced a walk through the parking lots like I did walking through Green Lot and all the way up to FedEx Field before they played the Patriots. I've never seen anything like it. There were 3 Patriots fans in that parking lot for every Redskins fan.
Do you think, though, that bothers Snyder as much as people think it does? And I guess here's what I mean. I get the sense that, well, people are coming. I could still sell tickets. I think that's what he cares about more so than how many Redskins fans are there. I think he hates empty seats more.
Yeah, he hates empty seats more, there's no doubt. But that's just the business of either I'm losing more money or I'm not. The idea of, is it okay that it's all Patriots fans and no Redskins fans, destroys him. That's a stadium that he's looking at, and he hears players after the game talking about how awful it was, and he hears the other team's players thanking their fans for coming.
Yeah, Brady's
it's a
going,
source
it was
of
great.
Embarrassment. They're talking about it on every national show after that game. Every national show. And you're vilified for it. Let's go to Tommy in Vienna. What's up?
Hey, thanks, guys.
What's up,
man? I think that Kirk Cousins is, and the Vikings, Kyle Shanahan, they're going to do well, but I think they're pretty classy guys. Cousins especially, I think Shanahan too. It's just going to be a sound victory. But on the whole Trent Williams thing, I think Bruce Allen is really Dan Snyder's lackey. You know, I think Trent Williams is making Snyder and the Redskins look bad. Snyder hates anyone making him look like a bigger jerk than he really is. So I think he's behind it. He's the one that always stops people from, you know, or silencing folks. And I think your previous caller mentioning this, no signs at FedEx is a great example, because that was in part of people making bad signs about him, not necessarily about, you know, people putting other signs up.
No, it's totally a thing. I mean, they're concerned about winning. I keep going back to this. Years ago, there was a story that, you know, they tried to get Jason Lockenfora, who they thought was writing critical articles of them as a beat reporter, reassigned. So they, like, conspired to get him promoted. I mean, the story that you told about they bought fast food for the media because they thought they'd be more lethargic and might miss a story. Those are the kinds of victories they try to have because they want to control the impression of them. Instead of saying, I'll work to lose weight, I'll just wear very slimming vertical stripes and black clothing or Spanx.
Let me buy some dude Spanx.
That's what they try to win, and they can't get the big stuff right, so they try to win these little insignificant, time-wasting things.
Sam's in California. Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. This is a grudge game for me against Kyle Shanahan. I'm going to go. He has a grudge against us. I have a grudge against him.
Go for it.
What he and his father did to RG3, I don't care. Let's go back to that Seattle playoff game. You've been over acknowledging him, I know, but he should have been taken out of that game. If his father had taken him out, RG3, out of the game when he was first injured, and they just sat him with Kirk Cousins to handle that second half, Kyle Shanahan's the head coach of the Redskins right now. He should be he was lined up to succeed his father. His father was head coach, and he was going to take over. If they had not committed malpractice, he'd be the coach of the Redskins happily.
He wouldn't be, though. Here's the problem with that. Griffin decided that he was not going to run anymore, and it wasn't because of the Seattle game. It was
I'm talking about before the injury. If he never gets injured.
But listen, hold on. Griffin decided all season long he was not happy with the offense they were running. If you go back and hear any of the quotes, I've had these conversations with him personally. He compared himself to Aaron Rodgers, and he didn't like the idea that he had to run around. For him, it felt like, I don't know if it was a race thing or what, but that no one gives me credit as a passer. They only think of me as a runner and an athlete, and that's not fair. I'm Aaron Rodgers. And so the point is, he went to Dan Snyder, and he said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to run these plays. I don't want to run their offense.
Yeah,
so
I can't argue with you. You're right.
Right.
You're
so
right. You're
so
right.
He wouldn't have been the head coach. He didn't like the Shanahans because they made him run this offense. And the offense they made him run, by the way, won a division and was number one in the league.
All I'm saying is if he doesn't get hurt, if the coach takes him out, if he doesn't have that second year when he wants to change the offense, wouldn't things have maybe changed there? Maybe they would have had the success they were having in 2012 with a healthy RG2. We'll never know.
Possibly.
My point is Kyle has not taken the high road with his little snide comments. He's a little smug punk. And for once, let's pay him back. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I like the call, man. Seriously, I like the call. I wish we had ammunition to do that. I'd love a game where the Redskins are 4-2 and they're 5-1 and we got a chance to beat his brains in. Now, who knows if if Kyle Shanahan's going to go on to be the head coach? I mean, that's a lot of dominoes that have to fall.
Sure,
but I've always agreed with that. As you know, I mean, an adult needed to step in and say the guy limping around shouldn't be in the football game anymore.
I think that's fair. I'm not telling you that Mike Shanahan's hands are clean in the sense that could he have been pulled out of the game? Should he have been pulled out of the game? We could have that discussion forever. I think it's a very reasonable take. The notion, though, which that call is that Griffin's a victim. This many years later, to still think that, I can't possibly fathom. But again, having been around it and in deep, I understand too that there was a perspective that fans had then that we didn't have necessarily that were around that thing very closely. And so I'm not going to keep beating my head against the wall and trying to explain it
and
to people
should you. It's
in
been,
2019.
It's been poured over a billion
people
times.
Had their minds made up when he wore his socks across the stage in 2012 when he was drafted that they were Robert Griffin Marks. And so they can't see it any other way, and he was wronged by the Shanahans. That's how you feel? God bless you. I hope you get your revenge because it means we have a victory Monday on the show. That would be nice. In the meantime, Kyle Shanahan's going to try to stay undefeated as an NFL head coach. Double play is next right here on G&D. This is a funny tweet from Wookiee of the Year. He said, LaFleur didn't take the worst of it in Washington, D.C., but he did watch it happen to his close friend and his close friend's dad between now and December 8th. So he's bringing LaFleur into this as well.
That's right.
He says it's three revenge games. Matt, Kyle, and Kirk might have conference calls. These offensive plans will be peer-reviewed, which is funny. Look, the 49ers are competing with the Vikings, who are clearly competing in the division with the Packers. So I'm not sure how much they're actually going to help each other out as they get ready for the Redskins. And in fact, Kyle Shanahan's going to be rooting maybe for the Redskins in those games. And you know Cousins is going to be rooting for them when they play the Packers and vice versa. But That's a funny tweet. Speaking of which, I actually heard from Cousins randomly the other day.
Did you really?
For the first time in forever. In the middle of the Nats game 3 win. So it was the first game back at home. I got a text from him out of the blue.
Is that right?
And he said basically like, dude, the Nationals are killing it. So happy for DC. Like, hope they get to the World Series. Just out of nowhere. Like the first thing I've heard from him in a long time.
That's wild, man.
But he was, I guess, watching baseball on TV. And he's like, is the city on fire? Like, are people pumped? He's like, good, they deserve it. So it just came out of nowhere, and he was just watching, and he's like, these. And I was surprised by that, but him and his wife really liked it here, and they're not coming back here in a couple weeks, but they're going to get some memories flowing back when they play the Redskins on Thursday Night Football.
And also just, it's a reminder that it's a three-dimensional thing. You could get very irritated at certain plays or happy at plays, regardless of what you think. Incredibly nice people. These are
human beings.
Super nice people that are, you know, not just a football jersey.
Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Danny just took a tissue out of his pocket and blew his nose while I coughed while we turned both of our mics off.
That's
a little update of how everything's going.
How's
here.
The show going?
Uh-oh.
No, we're not. Oh, weird. Yeah. All right.
I don't know what the questionable behavior is yet, by the way.
Is it coughing and sneezing and
just
snotting?
Blowing your nose?
Blowing your nose? Is blowing your nose weird? Is that the game? I think that's a very normal thing to do.
All right.
So what you got? You fired it, Tom. What do you got? Is what weird?
Is blowing your nose weird?
As an act or like everyone does it, right?
I would say in public.
In public.
Where am I going to go? I mean, I got to be here for another few minutes.
I sound so terrible.
When you laugh, it's bad.
It's so bad. You want him? What do you want him to do? That's what I'm trying to figure out here. You got to hide in the corner when you blow your nose?
I don't know. There was just a pause in the action, so I figured I'd fire something.
No, it's well a good done. Bet. No one's upset.
I like where you're at. I'll give you an is it weird.
Give it to me.
Is it weird? I don't have one, actually. I was going to think of
although
one.
Although you had some.
No, I don't. What do you have for the double play?
El Camino. I watched it on the Netflix on one of the off nights when the Nationals were not, in fact, going to the World Series. It's the Breaking Bad movie. So we got to live in the world a little bit more. If you haven't seen it, I will not spoil anything for you, but it takes place in the immediate aftermath of Jesse Pinkman's escape from the white supremacist camp where Walter White rescued him, right? So you've all seen Breaking Bad by this point. Here's how it felt to me. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Thommy, or Darius. I know, Grant, you're not a Breaking Bad mark. The show was incredible. It's one of the great achievements that we have had in this realm of television. And Walter White, that character, was just so absolutely fantastic. The thing that I noticed, and I wondered if other Breaking Bad fans noticed this as well, I feel like Aaron Paul, the lead, and this is his story, keep in mind, right? The show of Breaking Bad was more about Walter White's story, and Aaron Paul was a kind of a passenger that sort of would undulate up and down to the whims of Walter White. But this was Aaron Paul's movie. This is his show, his movie, so to speak. His growth as a character, as an actor, leaps and bounds. When he first started, I sort of didn't really buy it. And by the end, he was amazing. The depth, the different things that he did. We got to live in this world for a little bit. Here's how it felt to me. Like a really good Breaking Bad episode for 2 hours. If you were a fan of the show, I imagine you probably already watched it. But if you were on the fence, sit down, get back in. It gives you all the different items at the buffet. All the different people that you would want to hear from and want to see, you got to see, and you get to see Jesse go from, think about stoner, loser, dropout, ne'er-do-well, to savvy, smart, two or three steps ahead, getting out of impossible situations, and looking for his own happy ending. Really, really well done. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad they did that. A lot of times you get nervous when it's like, the TV show ended a few years ago. We're going to do a movie. Like, think of the X-Files, right? Some of those movies that nobody asked for. The X-Files was great. I loved it. And then, like, 8 years later, we're going to be like, we're going back and we're doing a movie. And everyone's like, I'm not sure that I want this. I'm going to see it, but I'm nervous. And it wasn't particularly good, right? They were just about, like, some guy whose eyes bled sometimes. And it was really weird. This was very, very good. Thank you, Vince Gilligan. Thank you, Breaking Bad. Excellent entertainment.
I think I'm going to try to stay up later than 4 p.m. today. That's my double play. I'm going to try to make it to, like, 9. Although the Yankees and the Astros have to play today, right? That's now a thing?
Yeah.
So I might have a baseball game to watch.
Playing a night piece, I'm sure, right?
So maybe there's a nap before the game. We'll get a preview of that game coming up in 20 minutes from Jim Bowden. He's covering it for MLB Network Radio. He was also the first GM in Nationals history. He helped get the team off the ground over at RFK Stadium. So that'll be a fun guest spot 20 minutes from right now on G&D. You are locked into the fan. By the way, I'm tweeting something out right now. Some Twitter account put out some clips from Davey Martinez's first press conference ever with the Nationals. And there are cameos from Craig Heist, Blue Shorts, Chris Kinert, among others, all in that video. So I'm tweeting that out right now. Grant and Danny on the fan.
Guys, Danny Ruggia here from a pals at Ted Britt Ford. What's happening right now is very interesting. Two things are going on. First, the micro. My Ted Britt Ford, my Fusion, is downstairs charging up right now, courtesy of this building's electricity. That's right. I drive on electricity to and fro, from and toward, whatever that the right phrase is there. I don't pay for gas. I've gotten gas, I believe it's 11 times in about 2.5 years. That's a great rate. Okay, so I save money. You too can save money. Here's the macro. No payments for 60 days when you buy something from Ted Britt Ford. Nothing. 2 months. No payments for 60 days in honor of them being in business for guess how many years? You guessed it, 60 years. Then, when you do pay them, you're going to pay them less than you normally would, right? That's the special going on right now, okay? Season to change at Ted Britt Ford. So I'm going to give you some examples. $7,000 off a 2020 Ford Explorer. It's not even 2020 yet, and they're doing that. I don't even know how they're doing it, but they're doing it. $8,000 off 2019 Ford Mustang. $8,000 off a Ford Ranger. How about $13,000 below MSRP on a 2019 Ford Escape? $11,000 below MSRP on a 2019 F-150 truck. And with all those that I just mentioned, That's a no payment for 60 days type situation. Okay? Think about that. You don't pay them for 2 months, and then when you do pay them, you pay them less than you probably should, to be honest with you. Take advantage of their generosity. Go see them in Fairfax and Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com, and when you go, tell these people Danny Ruggiero sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.